You're listening to Sunstein Sunday on Q104.3. Once again, Shelley Sunstein.
Good morning. I have the pleasure of sitting next to a Q104.3 listener who is the most remarkable man. He's known as Dave the Bridgeman. Dave Frieder has the most amazing coffee table book called The Magnificent Bridges of New York City. Self-published, I might add, probably the most impressive self-published book I've ever seen in my life. It's a love letter, really, to New York City, because he took all these magnificent photos of these bridges, but I mean up there on the bridges. First of all, congratulations on this work of art.
Oh, thank you.
How can people get it, first of all?
Okay, you can log on to Amazon and look up The Magnificent Bridges of New York City, or on my website, you can purchase it again through a link through Amazon, or you can order it using PayPal.
How did you get so obsessed with bridges, and you know everything about the bridges?
Well, actually, I grew up in Queens. I lived in Queens till I was six, and I remember the old Flushing Bascule Bridge. It had the two leaves that open up over the Flushing River. And as a little kid going into Manhattan with my father, it was amazing to see this bridge go up in the air and say, wow, look at that. Now we're driving over it when it came down. And that fascinated me. Then we moved to New Jersey, and we took the George Washington Bridge. At the time, they were building the lower roadway. And I said, wow, the engineer had enough insight to design a bridge for a possible lower level. But then I found out it was designed actually for four lanes of light rail traffic. And that fascinated me. And then when we took the FDR Drive, always take going to visit my grandparents, my father's parents, all these bridges along the East River, they all served the same function. They all look different. I said, wow. Each engineer had his own design, his own idea of how to make a crossing to go across this body of water. So it really was fascinating for me. And then my father bought me an Erector set, which every kid had more or less. And I built a little bascule bridge with it. And it became really fascinating working with this. And then also he gave me a little Brownie box camera. And I said, well, this is neat. I'm going to take photos of all the foliage around the house. I'm going to take photos of our dog. And then it lasted for a while, and then I decided to build a darkroom in my basement, and I only could make contact prints. And then 1980, my father said, look at this great image of Ansel Adams, and it was just a poster of Moonrise. And I said, wow, that's really cool. Is that Ansel Adams? I need to find out more about him. So I called the Ansel Adams Gallery in Yosemite National Park, and they connected me with a fellow named Jeff Nixon, who was Ansel's workshop assistant. I connected with Jeff. I finally took some workshops with him. And he then introduced me to John Sexton, who was Ansel's personal assistant for many years. And then I took a workshop with John, Jeff, and Morley Bear. Morley Bear was a great photographer who photographed the Big Sur coast of California. And we had reviews of our work. And Morley ranted and raved about my work. He loved it. John gave me very strong constructive criticism, but it made me work harder. I almost thought of giving up photography, but I said, I really have to work harder at this because I know I can do better. At the same time, John had climbed the Golden Gate Bridge and took some marvelous photographs up there. And also this fellow named Ron Wisner, who makes big wooden field cameras that I work with. Mind you, I don't do digital. I'm strictly film. And he took some great photos of the Golden Gate. And I said to myself, wait a minute. Where are there more bridges than anywhere in the world? Right across the river in New York City.
So what was the first one that you climbed?
I believe the first one was the Manhattan Bridge.
And there's Dave Frieder, Dave the Bridgeman, has a postcard. I'm going to post a picture of his postcard on my Facebook page because he is standing on top of the very upper, what would you even call that? That's at the very tippy top of the Manhattan Bridge.
Actually, technically, they're called finials, like the top of the Queensboro. Those right. are called finials, but I call them a sphere. I call them spheres.
And they do look like spheres.
Yeah, and they're strictly decorative. It has 20 segments.
But how high up were you? You're standing there all alone.
Yes.
No net, right?
I'm hooked up with my safety harness, but it's cool. It's a cool view. It's so neat looking.
Wait a minute, but there's fear. Most normal, mortal human beings have a fear of height.
Well, heights never bothered me.
When did you realize that what age were you when you realized I have no, that you could go to any height and not have any fear of falling?
Probably 3 years old.
Your parents must have been horrified.
No.
And terrified for you.
When we lived in Queens, our apartment, I think, was on the third or fourth floor, and I'd always be sticking myself out the window to look straight down. I'd say, wow, look at that. Look at that view. It's so cool being so high up. Then when my grandfather took me to the Empire State Building, I was poking my head through that grating, and he was pulling me back. I said, no, I want to look down. Look at that view. Everything is so tiny. It's so neat.
I'm talking to Dave Frieder, Dave the Bridge Man. He has this magnificent coffee table book, The Magnificent Bridges of New York City. It's really a love letter to New York City, a love letter certainly to our crossings, not the tunnels, just the bridges. What is your favorite bridge? What is the bridge that is an absolute work of art to you, if you have a favorite?
No contest, George Washington.
And is that because that was the first one you fell in love with as a kid?
I've crossed it more, and I began to study its engineering and what the engineer of design, Arthur Amon, did to design the structure. And it's totally one of a kind. I'm not going to get into the technical details. It can get quite complex, but it's really one of a kind bridge. It's so massive when you're up there and inside the towers. It's so huge. It could actually hold three decks. That's how strong this bridge is. But the approaches were not designed for that.
Okay, I'm going to run through some bridges and you're going to tell us some trivia or fascinating facts about all of them. Okay, let's start with the G.
Okay, that was the first major four-cable suspension bridge. Each cable has 26,474 wires. Each suspender rope can withstand a pull of 1,365,000 pounds before it would snap.
59th Street Bridge.
Queensboro.
All right.
Queensboro, and that's what it says on the plaque. That was, at the time, the fourth largest cantilever truss bridge in the world. It's actually a double cantilever truss because of the flat portion that goes across Roosevelt Island. Back then, it was Blackwell's Island. Actually, it was originally known as the Blackwell's Island Bridge, but they changed the name because they didn't want the bridge associated with the institutions on then Blackwell's Island.
Now, I'm going to assume that you call it the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge because I still call it the TAP, and I think I will till my dying day.
That's a New York State bridge, but I will always call it TAP NZ Bridge.
Ah, see. So you're like me.
Yes. And they'll also, mind you, which I know you in some of your broadcasts, it is Goethals Bridge.
Not Goethals.
It's Goethals, and I know Angela Goethals. Her great-great-grandfather was the chief engineer of the Panama Canal.
What's the ethnicity of that, Goethals?
I think it's German.
Okay, so I should be switching my pronunciation of that.
It is Goethals. That's the way I contacted this fellow I know in the New York Times, and I got him the information to contact Angela Goethals. Angela actually played Linny in Home Alone, the girl with the braces, and spoke French.
Huh.
That's Angela Goethals.
Okay, so the old TAP.
The old TAP and Z.
What can you tell us about the old TAP that we don't know?
Okay.
That's fascinating.
I'm not that familiar with it. I know.
I thought that was the most beautiful. That was my favorite bridge. I guess because of the view. I don't know. It was so majestic to me. It was just majestic.
Well, it's like the old Goethals, but it's a cantilever truss bridge. The problem with that type of structure, it's susceptible to any seismic activity. A suspension bridge or a cantilever bridge can take a lot of seismic movement before there be any damage.
So what bridges would be in danger with, in an earthquake?
Probably the outer bridge crossing.
Huh.
Or even Queensboro. Now, the outer bridge crossing was named after Eugenius Outerbridge, the first chairman of the Port Authority.
There was an outer bridge?
Eugenius?
Somebody with that name? I thought it was just because it described itself.
No, they can't. Wow. They can't say outer bridge. That would be kind of corny, right? So it's named after Eugene Outerbridge, first chairman of the port.
Okay, how about the Verrazano?
Mighty Verrazano with two Z's, which I've always spelled with two Z's. That was named after Giovanni de Verrazano, one of the first explorers to this area. It was the longest suspension bridge in the world at its time at 4260 feet. Its deck varies 12 feet between winter and summer, the center of the deck. And it's actually a cousin bridge to the GW, but it's comprised of cellular construction, not box beams like the George Washington.
Now, a bit of trivia about the Verrazano Bridge, because I don't think you've ever run the New York City Marathon. Maybe you have. Maybe you can explain to me why it's traditional for... Now, that's the very start of the New York City Marathon.
Yes.
You start on Staten Island. I have run 3 New York City Marathons. The men... going over the bridge, first thing they do is pee off the bridge. Why? Is there some sort of good luck thing with peeing off a bridge? What's up with that?
I never heard that before. I mean, I was once photographing from the Brooklyn side, and I like to be there on the truck to get the people's faces as they run across. And a lot of people would just stop and do their thing right in front of me. I said, okay, Mother Nature calls. What are you going to do? Now, many times when I was on the bridge, the iron workers would go with me, and I just let me go wherever I wanted. I had free rein to go up there anytime I wanted. And mind you, that piece of wire you have there that makes up a cable for the Verrazano, each cable on the Verrazano is 26,108 wires that makes up a 3-foot diameter cable. It's a little bit less than George Washington.
Wow. All right, Brooklyn Bridge.
On the front cover of the book, of course. I had to have that on the front cover because that was, nothing says more New York than Brooklyn Bridge. This was the first suspension bridge to use galvanized steel wires in the construction of its main cable. It has a sister bridge, smaller than this, but almost similar, between Cincinnati, Ohio, it's over the Ohio River. The Cincinnati-Covington Bridge, that's what it's called, Cincinnati-Covington Bridge. And this is all main granite above the water. Below the water is New York limestone. Unfortunately, many men lost their lives because of caisson's disease or the bends. Now, I used to do scuba, so I'm very familiar with that. Actually, I went down a little too quick, about 35 feet. I came up, and I had a little problem with my middle ear, but that luckily healed.
This is why I don't do scuba diving, and although I'm an ocean swimmer, I have no fear of the ocean. I am terrified of scuba diving.
It's really safe. It's really safe.
And until it's not.
Yeah, well, you have to be very careful. I the deepest I went was 105 feet. It was a bounce dive. You had to come up and stop about 20 feet roughly, I'd say. And we had to breathe, you know, regular air. That's what you're breathing. You're not breathing oxygen to decompress.
All right, but we are diverting from the conversation.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. No, it's my fault because, you know, you brought up the scuba. The cause, I don't even... There's two pronunciations, the Americanized and the Polish. I just call it the Kaz.
There's Kosciuszko and Kosciuszko, I think. I'm not that familiar with it. I did not photograph the old bridge. I wasn't that happy with its design.
Why weren't you happy with the design?
The new one I like, not the old one. The new one looks kind of neat, like the new Gothels and like the new Tappan Zee. The diagonal cable stay bridge, that's a really neat design. I like that.
Manhattan Bridge.
That's my favorite East River crossing.
Why?
It's so beautiful. All this ornamentation on it, the spheres on top, there's diamond patterns all over the structure. You have to know where to look. It was the first modern suspension bridge, the first bridge to use cellular construction, the first suspension bridge to use the triangular Warren-type truss. Where you see those triangles like close the roadway, that's called the Warren Truss, named after James Warren in 1848. That's when it was patented, a British engineer. It was the first suspension bridge to have two suspender ropes looped over its main cable. The problem with Manhattan Bridge, just to show you with this piece of wire, it would flex with the trains going over the outer lanes. It would dip 4 to 6 feet because the trains are in the outer lanes. So they install what's called a end frame to couple the road deck to the towers. So now it deflects about a foot or two.
I'm speaking with Dave, the bridge man, Dave Frieder. He's a Q104.3 listener, and he has the most magnificent coffee table book, The Magnificent Bridges of New York City. Again, where could people get it? How do they get it? Because it's self-published.
Yes, they can get it through Amazon. Go to Amazon and type in The Magnificent Bridges of New York City, or go to my website, which is www.davefrieder.com, and you can order it through Amazon, a link there, or through PayPal.
I'm just curious, what do you do for a living?
Actually, now I'm retired.
All right. What did you do for a living?
Okay. I was first an auto mechanic for X amount of years. Then I installed and serviced X-ray equipment for 17, 18 years. And then I decided to do my own thing, which is home repairs, plumbing, electrical, all kinds of work like that. And now that I'm retired, I can do photography full time, which I love.
You have to get permission to do all this, right? Who do you ask?
Before 9/11, I decided after gaining permission to get on this, I had to ask all the bridge authorities, which is Port Authority, TBTA, Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority, New York City DOT, and Amtrak, because Amtrak owns the Hellgate Bridge. So after I told them what I wanted to do, and I had no fear of heists, they said, fine, as long as you have your high liability insurance, which I obtained, and I had almost free rein to go on any bridge at any time.
And after 9/11?
It was severely restricted, but I have to admit, the Port Authority, they have been so great. They let me back on the GWB and their other crossings. They have been fantastic, and their engineers actually helped me with some technical information.
And Dave Frieder, Dave the Bridge Man, what's the sequel going to be? First of all, how long were you working on this book?
26 years.
Okay. What's the sequel going to be?
I'll probably be adding more images of the Triborough, and I have to replace one image that isn't very powerfully effective. But I had 1,500 copies made, so it's going to take a while to sell all those.
All right. I thank you. First of all, thank you for listening to Q104.3, and you're just a remarkable man. It's a pleasure meeting you finally face to face.
Yes.
And I'll be back on the air with Jim Kerr tomorrow morning. Jim Kerr, Rock and Roll Morning Show, Q104.3.
You've been listening to Sunstein Sunday, a production of New York's classic rock, Q104.3.